This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Unto your people, use me, O Lord, touch my lips, touch my tongue, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. This month, our theme for this month is new life in Christ Jesus. So today, our topic is also the theme of the month, which is the new life in Christ. When you talk about new life in Christ, that in itself suggests there's an old life, yes? It suggests an old life. So when we say new life in Christ, it means there's an old life that is not good enough or that's not good at all, that we are leaving behind and we are taking on this new life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, Colossians 1, 12 through 14, says, always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Our scripture of the month is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. It says, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life. How many people here belong to Christ? You know, that popular song, I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. So if you belong to Jesus, the scripture is saying that you have a new life. And that new life is what we are examining today. So like I said, basically there's an old life. And there's a new life. God cannot be mocked, is what the scripture says. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and the 7th verse, Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, it said, don't be misled. The Old King James says, don't be deceived. It said, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. You will always harvest what you plant. Verse 8, the 8th verse, he says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, that is talking about the old life, he says, those that their life is centered around the old life, if that is where they are sowing, he said, they shall also reap of that old life. He said, those who only live to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that old life, from that sinful nature. He said, they will reap what? They will harvest decay and death. He said, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life by the Spirit. Amen. These scriptures are very, very instructive. It's telling us some very, very important things about our new life. Our new life in Christ Jesus is what is going to cause us to harvest everlasting life from the Holy Spirit. New life in Christ Jesus. This new life came to us free, but at a huge expense to the Almighty God. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, I'm sure you know that scripture, say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. So the new life that is offered you and I, that new life is offered us at a huge cost to God. God gave all that he had. Matter of fact, we've been talking about acceptable offering the past two Sundays. And I was supposed to continue today, but God said, no, that this is what I must talk about today. Amen. But it is instructive for us to remember that even God gave sacrificially. He gave all. The Bible says he gave his only begotten son. The only son he had is what he gave so that you and I can have the new life. I think somebody should say hallelujah to that. You know, or thank you, Jesus. Or thank you, God. Or thank you, something. Because it is a huge expense that this new life was offered to us and is offered to us free. Remember, when we're talking about the acceptable offering, we gave the analogy of the goat, you know, and we talked about Abel's offering. Abel did not just give 10%. When you calculate what Abel gave, Abel actually gave 50%. He gave 50%. Amen? But let's continue. So God gave sacrificially. And we see both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that acceptable offerings to God are always sacrificial. In Ephesians chapter 4, which is going to be our text for today, Ephesians chapter 4 is a long read. We're going to read from verse 17 to verse 32. Actually, it continues to chapter 5 from verse 1 to 5, but we just stop in chapter 4. But let's read. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 32. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. He's saying, don't follow the patterns of the world, because the world is lost. The world is looking for a way out. He said, don't follow them. He said, they are hopelessly confused. Verse 18, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. So when you see people of the world sinning unlimited or disobeying God without any remorse, he said, don't follow them. Why? Because their hearts are filled with darkness. And their minds have been taken over by the God of this world. He said, they are not your example. That is your old life. You know, I've had people say things like, you know, it's just this problem that I have. If I can only deal with this problem, I will be a good Christian. That problem takes people to hell. Amen? He said, oh, it's just this situation that I have. Well, that situation takes people to a bad place. He says, don't follow the world. Don't say these things is a natural feeling. Everybody, I told you the story of a young lady many, many years ago. Many, many years ago. This was in the early 90s in the church that I attended. They went and approached this sister. They said, report has come to us that you are living in fornication. You know what her response was? She said, am I the only one? Everybody's doing it. Why are you talking to me? The first question in my mind is, how do you know you are the only one they are speaking to? How did you conclude that they have not spoken to the others? You know what she's doing? She's justifying herself. She's saying, it is okay for me to follow those that their hearts have been darkened. That's what she's saying. She's saying it's okay for me to follow those that their minds have been closed. He said, no. That must not be you. He said, because the people, the Gentiles, the people of this world, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far away from God because their minds are closed and their hearts are hardened. Verse 19, he says, they have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Does that describe the world that we live in now? I think it does. Where people's consciences are no longer pricked of evil. People do evil with impunity. People can do whatever and come to church and still lift up holy hands. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy. Oh, really? We're talking about the new life in Christ Jesus. He says the people that you want to follow, their lives make no sense. They don't have any sense of shame. You can't follow their fashion. You can't follow their lifestyle. Why? Because they are shameless. Don't follow them. He's warning them. That's the old life. You used to be like that, but you are no longer one of them. Oh, look at your neighbor. Say you are no longer part of the world. You live in the world. Say to them, you live in the world, but you are not of the world. Why? Because we belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. Our scripture of the month says, those that belong to Adam, they die. He said, but those that belong to Christ, they have been given a new life. Hallelujah. Verse 20, he said, but that isn't what you have learned about Christ. All these things that we have read, he said, you have not learned that in Christ. You have not learned that in Christ. It means when I sin, does that mean I will never ever sin? I may trip up and fall. He said, but when I sin, I quickly come to a place of repentance. I quickly say, Lord, I messed up. Please pardon me. Forgive me. And repentance is a 180, not 360, a 180 degree turn. So I'm going this way in error. Then I realize I'm going in the wrong direction. I make an about face and I go this way. If you make a 360, you are just back where you left off. Praise the Lord. So he said, you have not learned that about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, he said, because you have learned these things, what must I do then? He said, throw off your old sin nature. In the old King James, he says, put off. It means you are wearing it like a cloak. You are wearing it like a badge of honor. Say, take it off. Take it off. When before you got saved, fornication, there was no problem with it. In fact, there are some married men and women that are living in adultery, but nothing is pricking them. It's just a way of life. In fact, in America today, they have some marriage arrangements that you do what you want, I do what I want. When we like, we come together. In fact, there was one I read about, polyamory is what they call it. It means you can have many lovers. So you'll be married. A and B are married, but B, which is the wife, has boyfriend, but the only arrangement is she has to introduce the boyfriend to her husband so he knows who she's with. The same with the husband. He too can be with anybody. And they can do, it can even be homosexual really. So the man can be with another man and then bring the man to introduce. It's just messed up. It's messed up. The world that we are living in, friends, if you are not careful to diligently follow in the way of Christ, before you know it, you'll be tripped up and you'll be following the world. But that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. The new life that has been given us, he says the first thing you must do as you receive this new life is you must put off, you must throw off, you must cast off that old sinful nature and your former way of life. He said, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, somebody say, instead. He said, rather than do that, do this. He said, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. It means I am living under the control of the Holy Spirit. Every believer that is living the new life is controlled by the Spirit. They are not controlled by their whims. They are not controlled by their desires. They are not controlled by their wants. They are not controlled by any of those. They are controlled by the Spirit of God. It means the Holy Spirit is able to convict them in their spirit that what you're doing is wrong and they will stop and change course. The question I have for us today is, do you really have the new life in Christ Jesus? Because the new life in Christ Jesus has certain characteristics about it which we'll be looking at. Listen, verse 24. It says, as you put off, as you throw off, as you cast off the old sinful nature, in verse 24. He said, put on your new nature. Put on your new nature. When you look at the words that are used here, it puts a responsibility on the person. Did you catch that? He's saying, you cast it off. And he's saying, as you take it off, you put on. You know, many people believe if God wants me to change, he will just change me. No, he's not the devil. The devil is the one that compels you. It compels you. It makes you. As long as you belong to him, it will make you. It will make sure you do it. It compels you. He compels you. But God, the Spirit of the Lord, will only admonish and encourage you. And do you know that when God is correcting you of something, over time, you don't hear that correction anymore. It's not because he stopped speaking. It's just because your disobedience has so hardened your heart that you can't hear him anymore. He's still saying, no. The first time you did it, I mean, you felt so bad. You felt horrible because you were like, oh, man, how could I have messed up a whole me? No, it's not half you. It's whole you. Say, a whole me. I did this. I did that. And you felt so bad. But over a period of 2-3 months now, do you feel the same way? No. Why? Because the heart has developed callous. And the heart is not as sensitive any longer. Every callous I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the resurrection life of Christ Jesus, be broken in the name of Jesus. Friends, the most thing that you must watch out for about your life is your heart. Your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issue of life. If you know the things that used to pain you and prick you before, that you are now, it's not pricking you. There's something terribly wrong. It's a time to cry to the Lord and say, Lord, wherever I missed it, please bring me back. Please bring me back. Please bring me back. Praise the Lord. I hope somebody has been blessed. Let's continue reading. We have not even gotten to the body of the sermon. Okay, so he says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And then he says, as you put on this nature, what is supposed to happen to you? Number one, he says, stop lying. Stop telling lies. Any liars in the house today? If your hand is down, then we have everybody as liars present today. You know, like you got to work 8 to 5, 8 o'clock. Let me just clock in. 5 minutes. Then nobody is worried about it. Praise the Lord. So the fact that nobody raised their hand means we have 100% attendance of liars today. Praise the Lord. Listen, it says, so stop telling lies. Let's tell our neighbors the truth. How many people are willing to commit to the truth today? Commit to the truth. This is what the new life looks like. It doesn't matter who likes it and who doesn't like it. Tell the truth in love. Don't tell the truth so that you can make them feel terrible. Tell the truth in love. Say, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Verse 26, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. The old King James says, be angry but sin not. Amen. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. And this is true. I know people that boast about their anger issues. Say, you think you've seen anger? You've not seen my dad. My dad, before he died, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about them. He said, when my dad is angry, you'll be having seizures because he's angry. He said, I know it's bad, but it's not that bad. What the Bible is saying to us is a responsibility is putting on us. Don't put it on the Holy Spirit. Don't say, if the Lord doesn't want me to be angry, you will stop me from being angry. No, you will stop yourself from being angry. When you see the situation coming, you know the blood is boiling. You know yourself. Nobody knows you better than you know yourself. Change course. Change course. Husbands and wives that are sleeping on the same bed, but they are not talking to each other. How crazy is that? Can you imagine? Some people are busy committing fornication. Now, these two, they are married. They have license. But they are not talking to each other. So they sleep on the bed. One is facing this way. The other is facing that way. It's madness. It's madness. You know, there's a proverb that I want to tell, but I don't know the English version, so I just leave it. It's double jeopardy. That's the only way I can put it. So you are not talking, and then you can't go to Jerusalem. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's a problem. Some people didn't get that. That's fine. Don't worry. When you get home or on the way home, you will get it. He says, so don't be angry. Even if you are angry, don't sin while you are angry. Be measured. Somebody say, be measured. It's okay. If something is displeasing, you are displeased, you are not happy, express it and move on. Express it and move on. I was upset with somebody last week. The individual came to me today. I said, Pastor, please, about. I said, I have moved on. We have talked about it. Once we talk about it, it's done. There's nothing to hold on to. Nothing. There's nothing to hold on to. There's another proverb there, but I don't know the English version. Hallelujah. I was raised by an old person. My dad was in his 50s when he had me. So, yeah, he was 57. So I grew up with a lot of proverbs, you know, but even when you translate to English, it loses meaning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen. It says, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. You know, some people, in their anger, they have committed murder. You know, maybe somebody pinched them and they decide to slap the person back, and their slap is like the weight of a bulldozer. You wham, the guy just drops and dies. Verse 28. Say, if you are a thief, quit stealing. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, it says, you have robbed me. They said, what? The Almighty God, who can rob you? He said, in your tithes and in your offering, you have robbed me. And he's saying, if you want to enjoy this new life, he said, you must stop stealing. You must stop stealing. He said, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and give generously to others in need. Listen to me. If those that have will pay attention to those that do not have, there shouldn't be any need in the church. None. But if my goal is to show her how much more I have than her, then I will take pride in the other person's lack. Amen? But in the church, with the amount of resources we have in the church, there shouldn't be anybody suffering. There shouldn't be. Listen. Verse 29. It said, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear you. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. If you have a hard copy Bible, I want you to underline that in your Bible, if that Bible is your own. Underline that part. It says, do not bring sorrow to God's Spirit by the way you live. The way I live matters. How I conduct myself inside and outside of the church, it matters. Do I represent Christ well? Whether in church or outside of the church. What is my testimony within and without the church? On the school campus, at my job, What is my testimony? We're talking about the new life still. He said, remember, he has identified you as his own. It means Christ has put his mark upon you. The mark of Christ is upon me. So anywhere I go, if I'm not living right, I am an embarrassment to Jesus. I'm an embarrassment to him. Say, he has guaranteed you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Can we read this part together? Verse 30, please. Let's read 31 as well. This is what the new life looks like. He said, if you're going to be an example of the new life in Christ Jesus, get rid of all bitterness. I will not be surprised that in this church, that there are some people that don't talk to themselves. Is that? Never. Never. When we get to heaven, we will make up. There is no makeup in heaven. Listen to me. It may sound funny, but there will be no bitterness in heaven. That root of bitterness will lead those individuals to the other side of the aisle. So whoever, whatever it is, you know, I just wonder what can it really be that I will not be able to speak to my brother or my sister? And then I say, oh, brother Femi, sister Meju, how do you call somebody brother whatever or sister whatever and you can't talk to them? The very word brother or sister already connotes a covenant relationship. Already says we are connected. We are bound. We are joined together. We are joint heirs of Jesus Christ. So what bitterness, what rage, what anger, what harsh words? Yes, it's possible somebody may say harsh words to you. Let them calm down and go back to them. Sister Jeanette, I really did not appreciate the way you spoke to me the last time. You'll be surprised they didn't even realize they spoke to you any which way. I'm telling you the honest truth. I'm sorry, how did I speak to you? You know, then you now tell them how they spoke to you. Say, I'm sorry. Perhaps we have a cultural difference here. That's where I talk to my mom, my dad. You know, if I address my dad like that, you know. Actually, somebody was telling me a story like that. Had a situation with somebody. Said the person was asking them. He said, "Who in your life do you respect the most?" I said, "Well, my dad." I said, "Well, I want you to speak to me like you speak to your dad." And I know how this individual speaks to their dad. You will be worse. I wish the person that was requesting would have spoken to me. I would have told the person, that would be a bad example. Perhaps you tell them, how you speak to pastor is how you want. That might even... You know, because when you are cool with your parent, you know, it's not like the person is being disrespectful to their dad. It's just that they are cool together. You know, it's like mother and mother-in-law. If you speak to your mother-in-law the way you speak to your mom, when the matter comes before me, I will tell you the honest truth. You are wrong. Praise the Lord. Verse 32, he said, instead, be kind to each other. the new life. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Let me stop for a minute here. By experience, I know a lot of people have a problem with forgiveness. By experience. They don't forget things. If they begin to say, I remember in 2006, it was around February. In fact, the reason I remember is because February 5th is my wedding anniversary and it was around my wedding. Come on, 12 years ago. And then you say, let's fast forward. Maybe that one is too far. Let's fast forward. Let's fast forward to 2010. We're in 2018. And then they begin to pile it up. Look, I even forgot about that offense you are talking about. Can you please accuse me for the current one and let me just apologize? Because I know if you accused me back then, I probably apologized. If I did it again, maybe I'm stupid. Maybe I'm foolish. Maybe I'm just not mature enough just yet. Can you please look at that and maybe forgive me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's learn to forgive one another. We have given room to the devil because of unforgiveness. He said, I can never deal with that person again. Some words you must not use. Never. Don't use never. It's a bad word to use. If you say, I will never sin, I will agree with you. But I would never, or you never ever do, those things are not true. You know, I've sat to talk to couples before. Say, my husband never. I say it's a lie. It's the first thing I say. It's a lie. He never calls me. It's a lie. Can anybody say I'm wrong? You can if you believe I'm wrong. Those things are not true. Maybe he doesn't call as frequently as you would like him to call. I will agree with you. He only calls me twice in a year. At least he called. It's not healthy. But to say never, it's not possible. You know, you never, those things are not true. They are generally, let me put it like that. They are generally not true. Friends, the Bible says we must put off anger, rage. Colossians 3, 8 and 9 also says this. You know, there's a rule in Scripture, which is repetition. If the Scripture is repeating something, then it tells you that thing that is being repeated is important. You know, in Colossians 3, 8, it said, but now is the time to get rid of anger. The old King James says, put off. So now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. You know, there's a family that left the church because somebody made a remark to somebody else in their presence. Did you get the picture? So I made a remark to her in her presence, you know, and the person felt in church, that's dirty. That's dirty. How do you talk like that in church? So we need to watch it. You know, it's okay. We're still cool. We're cool with the church. We are friends of the church. In fact, they still even give donation to the church. It's just that they said they don't want to be in that kind of environment. So let's watch. You know, there are some, you know, all those WhatsApp things that people send, general video and messages. There are some I can only share with my wife. You know? If I share with you, it's the pastor is being inappropriate. And that is true. So I will never share it with anybody outside of my wife. You know, so let's know the things to say, whether joking or not joking. Because you don't know who is. So this the person that was addressed didn't have any problem with it. In fact, the person that was being addressed is still in church. But the person that had it said, no, that is inappropriate. That's inappropriate. And because of that, they left church. But thank God they didn't leave the faith. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old nature and its wicked deeds. Listen, in the new life, we put on the nature of Christ. In the new life, the Bible says in Colossians 3:11, in the new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It really doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, whether you're barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Listen, what that is saying, let me bring it down to our language. You know, it is possible in the church to have some kind of class groupings. Say, you are not my type. You are not in my, how do you say? You are not in my clique. You are not in my circle. You are beneath me. You know, the Bible says in the new life, in the body of Christ, it really doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter whether you are educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you have money or you don't have money. It doesn't matter whether you are male or female. The only thing that must count amongst us is Christ glorified. That's the only thing. He said, are you reading the same Bible that I'm reading? He says, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. The only thing that matters is Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. How is your relationship with Christ? How is my walk with Christ? That is the only important thing. And then if we now differ based on the new life in Christ Jesus, I say, brother, I have noticed this and this and that, and I believe this is what the scripture says. This is unbecoming of a child of God. Can you please fix your ways? That's a good one. If they don't like it, it's too bad, because you are standing on the word. You are looking out for your brother. You're looking out for your sister. We must look out for one another. Amen. And verse 11, it says, in this new life, Colossians 3:11, okay, we just read that. Verse 12, it says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, then he puts a responsibility on you and I. Because God has chosen, do you know it's not everybody that had the gospel that is saved? But somehow, you are saved. You have received the new life. It says, because God has chosen you to be his holy people that he loves, he's now saying, he said, you then must clothe yourself. Is what I do actively. I guess the problem a lot of people have is they believe, now that I gave my life to Christ, something will just make me become a better person. Nothing is going to make you become a better person. What happens at salvation, God takes away that sinful nature, right, and empowers you with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, you can choose to do the right things. I'll give you an example of myself, and I'll stop there for today. I remember like yesterday when I gave my life to Christ. The day when I went, it was some chick that I was chasing that said, I have to come to church. I said, okay, if it's church, I can do church. I don't have a problem with church. So I went to church. I sat through the sermon, and the Lord convicted me. And I gave my life to Christ that day. Before I went to church that morning, I had maybe a couple of sticks of cigarette, you know, and then brushed my teeth quickly so that the girl would not smell anything. I mean, back then, maybe I would do almost a pack a day. But I left that service that day with zero desire for nicotine. Zero. It was not, listen, back then, they didn't even have, patch? Even if they had patch, where will I get the money? But you know, if it's evil, the money for evil, well, if I, when you don't have the money, other people will give you the cigarette to smoke. Is that, man, can I have smoke? Can I have smoke? They will give you. You will still be able to feed that appetite. But walking away from there that day, there was no appetite for smoking cigarettes anymore. None. I didn't even pray, Lord, please make me stop smoking. No. If you have truly, genuinely given your life to Christ, the Bible says all things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. At that point of the new life, it is your decision to sin. May I say that again? After salvation, in the new life in Christ, you make a decision by yourself to sin. Because the thought of sin alone, the Holy Spirit is convicting you. He's telling you, no, 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 cast that thought. Cast it out. Cast it down. Cast out the thought. The Holy Spirit is nudging you. But you just overwhelm yourself with the thought of evil. And then you go ahead. The Holy Spirit, at the point of salvation, gives you power to live above sin. I want you to rise to your feet. Somebody say, I have power to live above sin. I have power to live holy. I have power to live a life that is worthy of Christ. Why don't you bow your hearts this morning? Perhaps some of the things that have been talked about is addressing some issues in your life. Please do not justify yourself when it comes to sin. Say, Lord, I am sorry. Is there anger? Is there malice? Is there bitterness? Is there any malicious behavior in any area of your life? Are you willfully contravening the word of God? Are you willfully living in sin? He says, let the thief quit stealing. Are you willfully taking what belongs to God and eating it for yourself? Say, Lord, have mercy on me. He's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. A broken and a contrite heart, He will not despise. He will not reject. When we come to Him broken, He will receive us unto Himself. He will draw us nearer unto Himself. I beg you in the name of Jesus, don't get comfortable with sin. The world is confused. Their minds are full of darkness. And their way is the way of the wrath of God. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Do I have anybody in the house this morning? You don't even know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have not surrendered your life. You have not asked Him to be your master. You have not asked Him to be your Lord. If there's any such person in the house this morning, I want you to wave your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody? I want you to say, Lord Jesus. Say it as you like you mean it. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Help me that my life will continually honor you. That my life will continue to glorify you. In the name of Jesus. Talk to the Lord. Talk to Him. He's here. The Bible says, I stand at the heart, at the door of every heart, and I'm knocking. It says, if any man will open the door, I will come in, and I will come and sup with him. Lord, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. Thank you for the new life in Christ Jesus. to you, and you alone be all glory and honor. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us from the clutches of sin. Thank you for translating us from the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light. Daddy, I pray, I commit your people into your hands. Nothing will take you from that way. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, may you be a reflection of him in the way you live. In the mighty name of Jesus, your life will honor God. In the name of Jesus, your conversations will honor God. In the name of Jesus, no profane, no dirty language will be found in your mouth. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.